Look, if you make clothes well, you can never be poor in Nigeria. Not with these women we have. They're always buying clothes. Don't, in fact, don't sew for men. Poverty will finish you. Just sew for ladies. Once the man makes the trouser, until the thing puncture hole, you know they drop out. But ladies, it's tithe and offering every month to the tailor. As they give God his portion, they give the tailor his portion. Anyway, so I told the lady, I said, oh, what can you do? She was looking at me. I said, oh, it has never crossed your mind that you don't have to get a job. Some people, like, it has never crossed their mind that some things are doable. A friend of mine once, he pastors in Redeemed. Something happened and all of that. I said, oh boy, I think you should stop pastoring in Redeemed and go and start your own ministry. And he looked at me. Later on when we were talking, he told me that, do you know, it had never crossed my mind until you said it. I said, yeah. One guy wrote us a letter, having watched us on TV, wanted me to please advise him that in his heart it has been that he's a Redeemed pastor. His father is a Redeemed pastor. He is due to be promoted, to like some like assistant provincial pastor, quite a big level. But in his heart, he had known for years that he has a different ministry, so he has to leave Redeemed after a while. There's nothing wrong with that. So one day, he decided he was going to resign. That was a few months ago. Abi? His father now called him and told him that nobody ever leaves Redeemed and prospers in life. So Roke called me and said, what do I tell him? I said, tell him Tunde Bakare was a Redeemed pastor. So I don't need to tell you more than that. Another one, Tony Raffu was the happeningest young pastor in Redeemed. This present house is prospering in Lagos. That's the name of his church. You know, some people are just so confused in life. You've forgotten that Redeemed was started by one person, not Jesus Christ. If you go to Redeemed, I hope you don't mind that statement, though, because it's true. At least you're not a Catholic. Catholic said, okay, they are the first church. You can't even claim to be the first church. You know, we are very funny as human beings. Catholic said they are the first church. Go to Russia. The Russian Orthodox Church don't know who these Romans are. And you see people going around, you're not in our church. God, I've seen two girls in Christ Embassy look at me one day with pity. They looked at me with pity. Because I know they go to Christ Embassy. And I looked at their confused young minds. I wish God gave me the anointing to deliver them. But he did not. I said, don't worry, you go soon jam, you go wake up to reality. Jesus Christ is the one we all serve. Paul, look, how can you say I'm of Paul? Even Paul was angry, and some people say I'm of Paul. But we now will take pride in it. Chukubike, you're Pastor Bank. You're not of anybody else. If I catch you anywhere else, I go swear for you, you will never prosper in life. You know, that's the kind of thing we now say. How can a man open his mouth and tell somebody that nobody ever lives with him and prosper? Is he? That man should be sacked from that ministry. If I'm the Jew, I will sack him. I will sack you for talking that rubbish. So your sons can't follow their ministry in life again. You think this is the only ministry God has on the earth? Bishop Oyedepo is lost as far as you are concerned. The way of Kumuyi has missed the way as far as you are concerned. The Lord is good. All right, what was I ever saying? Anyways, you know, I was saying something like, so some things don't ever cross some people's minds. The lady I was talking to that day, do you know? It had never crossed her mind that people prosper without getting a job. I am God and there is none else. That's something I emphasize. I am God and there is none else. What does that mean? It simply means that anywhere you focus your mind on, as this is the place my destiny is locked into, that place becomes your God. I am God and there is none else. That's what God is saying. And you know the practical thing about God, because we can't see him, therefore there's another way we can understand him. If God says, I am God, there is none else, then there's an easy application to that. Just start naming everything and say, that thing is not God. My degree is not God. My background is not God. My nation is not God. America is not God. Britain is not God. You get my point? Glow is not God. All companies are not God. NMPC is not God. You keep naming it. So anywhere your mind was locked into that, like, that's where I will prosper through. You say, that place is not God. The steps of faith we're talking about. I said that Abraham understood this. And that's why he was ready to go. Don't ever forget that. Let's leave that, all right? Let me quickly get into other things. And I talked about those three things. Let me quickly now go into them. I listed them as what? Prayer. Very important. Let me start with that. I listed three: prayer, prophecy, and the offering up of sacrifices. I said I was going to analyze the steps of faith of Abraham. Actually, they are also in those three things are just the things I'm going to discuss. Let's take an example, the offering up of sacrifices. You will discover one of the things that characterized the life of Abraham was the building of altars. You will see, the Bible will say that God appeared to Abraham in a particular place. Just to use as an example, the book of Genesis chapter 12. Let's quickly read that. This is just by the way to help some people understand some of the things I said. You now say that, are you saying that, Pastor, God didn't tell the founding father of this church that he'll come and meet the church on the earth? I said, I'm sure he said that. But what he did not say is that this is the only one. You know what happens sometimes? Eh? God says some things generally. Each person that hears, he thinks God was talking to only him. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. I've heard people, I won't mention the name, one man said, God told him that he had given the youth into his hands. So I felt like, so every youth in Nigeria will go to your church. Are you drunk? I don't know what I'm saying. You think you have a right over all the youth in Nigeria? No. You know how you interpret such things? You know that your ministry is targeted at youths. So you just engineer your life, all right, your work towards the youth. Do you follow what I'm saying? And you must never. No, what happens to most people is that, assume now, I'm the one that made that statement. I want to come to Enugu to come and do a program. And I hear that Ken Carter's got here ahead of me. Ken Carter's also does use issues, all right? I'll now be angry and jealous that why is he intruding on my turf? Do you follow my point? So I now look at him as a rival, as an enemy. Why? Because God told me, only me, small me, all the youth in Nigeria. As you say, I fit safe. Because I didn't understand that God didn't speak to me alone. Usually in each generation, God tends to, look, this work I've noticed is usually not one person in one generation. That's why you hear a faith message. They talk about the great teacher of faith, Kenneth Hagin. All right? But go and read Derek Prince. He taught extensively on faith. They were about the same age. Extensively. Faith to Live by Derek Prince. God's Medicine by Derek Prince. There are so many messages on faith by Derek Prince. Derek Prince taught and practiced and lived divine healing. If you read a man like John Alexander Dowie, you think he was the only one. I actually thought that time nobody else was doing divine healing apart from John Alexander Dowie. Except that one woman who operated as much in the power of God for divine health as Dowie did was called Maria Woodward Etta. They were contemporaries. They will tell you Azusa Street. That was where God poured the modern day outpouring. That's a joke. I mean, you know what I mean? The joke is this. When the grandfather of Demos Shakarian arrived in Azusa Street, you know what he said? Wow, they have this thing here too. He just came back from Armenia. So he got to Azusa Street and saw people under the power. He heard speaking in tongues. And all that. They said, this thing reached here too. That was his reaction. But because our modern books are derived from American heritage, we think, you know, and then, you know, we keep repeating it. Go and read the story. I told you, read. Nobody will be able to fool you. A lot of things people say that, you know why I can't believe it? I've read too much. Say, God called me and only you. you go soon die. Only you. Only you. For all the work within this earth. You say you don't fear. You say you are not afraid. Only you. Jesus Christ, you want to die again. If you are the only one God called, let me prophesy to you, they will kill you on the cross at the age of 30. 33. You're not the only one. Jesus used to call 70 people at a time. Send them out in pairs. Forget it. You're not the only one. Read around. Read that book. The happiest people on earth. Demos Shakarian said his father was a boy when they came down from Armenia. And his father's father, they would go out in the morning to go and look for work. One day, while stumbling around looking for work, he stumbled on this place called Azusa Street. Went to that particular place and saw people, you know, saw the word of God going forth. And people were being filled with the Spirit. They were falling under the power. They were speaking other tongues. And he said, this thing reach here too. I hope you're following what I'm saying. So, God called one man. You know, you've heard me say this several times. When I'm preaching and some people will respond to the kind of ministry that I deliver to them sometimes, and they will say, Oga, we have never heard anybody like you. You know, I heard all those kind of statements, which, please, only believe them halfway. What I mean by halfway is that it is true that the man has never heard anybody like you. It's true. He's not lying. But you will be a goat to think he means you are the only one like you. It just means he has never heard. He's not the only human being on earth. The Chinese people have heard. The Brazilians are hearing another person right now. There's one guy that God called, and he had just built a tabernacle last week in Congo. They are hearing him there too. In South Africa, there's one guy who's 10 years younger than you, who's hotter than you are, just that the Nigerian has not yet heard him. Do you understand my point? It's ignorance that makes men proud. So God gave youth to your hand, so youth can't go anywhere else again because you are the only one. While he was telling you, he told 17 other people in your local government. That's your local government alone. Maybe only two of you heard it. When you move to the next state, you told the whole street, gathered everybody in the street, and said, you people in this street, I give you to your hand. There's no competition. There are enough youths to go around. Even now, youth, you want job. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. I just wanted to clarify that so people will understand. And that's one of the problems people have with interpreting the scriptures. They say, God told the Jews, I said, it's because he was talking to them. I wish you would understand the point. It's like I tell my son, assuming that those days I was an inventor, I told my son, all right, don't worry, by the time you grow up, you will have a car. Do you understand my point? There were no cars. I said, by the time you grow up, you will have a car. Because I'm inventing one right now. He now grows up, brings out a gun, and starts shooting everybody else that has a car. He said, why? I said, because my father said, I will have a car. Your father never said, you'll be the one that will have a car. He just talked to the child to encourage him. Just try and live long. He will have a car. I don't have time to discuss that. And I know some people wonder why I'm saying it. But the prophecies that God gave Isaiah for Jerusalem, for Judah, for all those things, they were not unique to them. But they were prophecies of things he promised them. And Paul said the wall of partitioning was broken down in Christ Jesus. So right now, there's no longer Jew or Gentile. But Christ is all in all. And the promises of God are yes and amen in him. So when I watch some of these people on TV, say, God promised that he would deliver Jerusalem. I say, yes, he will also deliver Lagos. No, they make me laugh. Say, God, the Jews are special. I say, it's a lie. The promises of God are confirmed in him. Any Jew who will not believe is an Arab, as far as God is concerned. And the salvation of the Arab is as important to God as that of Benjamin Netanyahu. That's Israeli Prime Minister. I'm telling you. The Lord is good. Those are the problems of life. People think they are the only ones. Sometimes I browse the net looking for the other Pastor Bank. You don't know. I do once in a while. Just the reading matters. I know one day I'll stumble on somebody that is preaching exactly like I'm preaching. But the problem that he might be preaching in Spanish, that's the only problem I have right now. Or in Swahili. But one day we'll go meet. This one that we're on international TV, so we'll go soon meet. We'll go soon meet. The Lord is good. Are you the one I'm preaching to myself? I don't even understand what's going on right now. Okay, read your Bible, the book of Genesis chapter 12. Oh, God. All right, let's go. I was talking about Abraham and sacrifice, all right? Just as an example, the book of Genesis chapter 12, you'll see something here. Let me just save time. Let's start from verse... let's just start from verse 5. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and the persons they had acquired in Haran. I'm just jumping now. And they set out for Canaan. Then verse 6. And Abraham passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. Now verse 7 is where I'm going, but I just like to read in context all the time. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. I just want to use that as an example. If you go to chapter 13 also, just quickly flip down to 13 verse 18. You will see there are two references to altars there, but let's just go down to verse 18. Then Abraham moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron. And there he built an altar to the Lord. I just read those two things to explain the principle behind those three points I brought out. One, I said prayer. Number two, I said what? Prophecy. And number three, this offering up of spiritual sacrifices. Now, there's something I wanted to start with. Good enough, I just remembered it now. So let me say it. The life of the Christian is about worship. Let me start again. The life of the believer is all about worship. All about worship. Now, when you make such statements, sometimes people don't understand because they think the worship is, I worship you, Lord. Worship is no more, I worship you, Lord, than giving food to your husband is, I feed you, husband. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you are feeding them, like, let's ask me, I go home now after preaching, I tell my wife, wow, I have worked today. I need to eat. And my wife stands in front of me and says, I feed you, my husband. Doesn't make any sense, you know. If I see the food, whether she says it or not, I will eat it. Are you getting my point? So I worship you, Lord, is the beginning of worship. It's not really worship itself. It's stimulating yourself towards real worship. Father, we worship you. That's very nice. I'm not saying it's bad, but that's the beginning of it. The life of the believer, let me say it again, is all about what? Worship. What is worship? There are different words in the Bible used to explain worship. But I want to summarize it. I don't want to go into the theology behind it. What I want is called latriol, proskuneo, all those plenty Greek words. There are plenty. But let me summarize it. The essence of it, it just simply means to serve. Are you getting my point? There are acts of worship, all right, of which praise and thanksgiving is part of it. Please, get that point. In fact, let me just teach you a bit of correct Christian vocabulary. How many of you have been to church? I mean, all of us have done it before. It's time for praise. What is praise? Do you want a revolution? If you go to a church like mine, all right, that's praise, all right? Or you go to some other churches, God of miracle, now my papa, oh. They will dance, you go down, dance wherever it says, what is praise? Say, now, brethren, let us go into worship. Then the same song, you're suddenly slows down. God of miracle, now my papa, oh. God of miracle, now my papa, yeah, 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 yeah. You have said the same thing, only slower. Think about it. You think God the calibrate speed? Think it's a gramophone of 45 RPM and 33 RPM of those days. If that was what God needed, just buy a nice gramophone, play your music on fast or slow speed. You know. Oh my God, the Lord is good. You know, actually, most of the time, as Christians, we don't think about it. We just do it. So this one is praise and this one is worship. So call the choir leader. What's the difference? You've said the same thing. One fast, one slow. The truth is that really, it's just our vocabulary, our more contemporary vocab. It doesn't have any real meaning itself. The truth is that all of them are forms of worship. Is that okay? There's a difference between, I personally have some words I like to introduce as all forms of worship. There's thanksgiving, all right? That's a form of worship. There's praise, which is different from thanksgiving. And there is rejoicing. That thing, rejoicing, is very important. It's part of thanksgiving. Do you understand my point? When the Bible says, clap your hands, O ye people, shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. That's a commandment. That's not praise. That's not thanksgiving. That is what the Bible calls triumphing. You know what it means to triumph? Triumph in the Bible doesn't mean to overcome. When you have overcome, that dance you do after winning is called triumphing. Do you get my point? Like maybe, like Nigeria just beat, is it Spain? Huh? I beg, under 17, Spain. Don't disturb me. Go and confuse my head. You know that I don't watch football. Next thing now, I'll begin to get headache. Take your time seriously. You know, Nigeria beat Spain the other day. Was it not yesterday? Or the day before, all right. And as you score each goal, you know that eruption and that dance. You know, when they finished the match in Lagos, people ran onto the field. And they were really rejoicing, hugging the players. That's what the Bible calls triumphing. That rejoicing that follows victory is what the Bible calls triumph. When it says, let me not be ashamed and let not my enemies triumph over me. It doesn't mean to win. It means to rejoice at my falling. Do you get my point? That's what it means to triumph. So when you score a goal and you go crazy and you dance, that dance is it's called triumphing. That activity of rejoicing is triumphing. Believe me, it's as much worship, all right, for us to take time out. You know, I invited all of you for my 10th wedding anniversary. It's a worship session. Believe me, it is. I don't have time to explain it. Listen, that day you eat only holy food and drink holy drink. Because I am going to buy it with offering money. What I mean offering money? I don't mean the one you gave Kingdom World to please, so that's not what I mean. I mean the money I would take from my pocket as an offering unto the Lord shall be used in artisan market to buy live chicken, sacrifice it unto the Lord there. The priest used to eat the sacrifice. Look at you. You are a priest unto God, so you come and eat the sacrifice of the fowl. Part of the worship of God is thanksgiving. Jehovah Witness will tell you that they don't celebrate birthdays. Because it was during the birthday of a king that they killed John the Baptist. I'm not planning to kill anybody, so what's my problem? Jehovah Witness will tell you that the reason why they don't do birthday is because it was pagan kings that used to do it, and those days they used to do a lot of bad things. Vashti lost her throne maybe during one of those birthday parties. John the Baptist lost his head during a birthday party. the only head I'm going to cut during my own birthday party is the devil's head. So I think it's a good thing to do. Now, what I'm going to bring is that, look, it's why you are doing what you are doing that matters. Are you following my point? When my wife was pregnant with my son, Akinlu, I made a vow unto the Lord, all right? That this is how I will say thank you. Now, this was many years ago, all right? Akinlu will be 7 now in the next few weeks, all right? And how I said thank you then, I didn't have much money, but I told the Lord my offering to say thank you for Akinlu was 100,000 naira. And I wasn't giving it to anybody. I divided it into bits. I went to church for the day of the Thanksgiving. I gave part of it as an offering. It was 100,000. Then the rest of it was used to buy food, drinks. At least everybody come and rejoice and invited everybody. That was, no, really, I hope you understand. That for me was a sacrifice unto God. And I can't go into details, all right? It's in the scriptures like that. And when I finished, I asked my wife, this was 7 years ago, I told you, how much did everything cost? She told me, we still had a balance of like 20,000 naira. So I took that 20,000 naira balance, went to church next time and dropped an offering basket. What I had expected, people would chop the food. If it wasn't enough, I wasn't like I'm feeling happy. like I just want to spend money. No, I am offering offerings unto the Lord. Have you ever asked yourself, you know, when Jacob was going out on his sojourn, he asked God to bless him and keep him, and that if God will do that, when he will come back, he will give God the tenth of everything that God will have given him. Some use that one to say that every Christian should tithe. I don't accept. There's a reason. I can't go into that now. But because when we say that, we miss the principle. God doesn't even, I'm sorry to say this, God doesn't accept that argument. We miss his point when we say that. Because God said something. He said, offer unto God the sacrifice of thanksgiving. That for Jacob was a sacrifice of thanksgiving. It was not a tithe. It was a sacrifice of thanksgiving. God said, I'm not angry with you because you have not been giving me all the offerings I prescribed. He said, offer unto God. That's when he said that, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. He said, offer unto God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Call upon me in the time of trouble and I will answer you. That's what he was saying, that you guys don't call upon me so I can do things for you. The sacrifice of Jacob, all right, was an offering of thanksgiving. That God, I went. You know, people say that it's a tithe. He owed it to God. If you know the principle of the scriptures, you cannot pledge to God what belongs to him already. There was a commandment like that. God gave them an express command under the law. He said, you can never pledge or vow to me that which is mine already. So, you couldn't tell God, all right, I will give you this if the commandment said it was already his own. The firstborn male was God's own. So you say that, but Hannah pledged Samuel to God. Do you know the reason? Because God allowed them to redeem the firstborn boys. So what did Hannah do? Hannah first redeemed as God commanded, using the sacrifices she took to the temple. Then after that, she now gave the boy. Having bought him from God, she now gave him back to God. Look, interpreting the scriptures, just need to open your eyes and pray small. Some of these are very clear. So for Jacob to have vowed to God, God was acknowledging that. I'm not laying claim to it. People say tithing was before the law. I say, listen, tithing was not before the law. I don't have time. That's not our discussion now. It was not before the law. It wasn't. I don't have time to discuss it. The concept of I owe God 10%, I must pay him regularly, never occurred until God told Moses about it. The people who did it before, it was a sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Jacob offered to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, which was a tenth of everything that he had. What you and I call offering now. That's what he did. What am I going to bring up from there? That's why I even went into it. Have you ever asked yourself how God collected it? There was no priesthood. Melchizedek left long ago. After Abraham, we didn't hear of Melchizedek again. Isaac never met Melchizedek for all we know. Where did Jacob give God the pay? Where? I will tell you, I will tell him. The things of God are interesting. You know what he did? As soon as he arrived, he numbered all the animals, selected at random, one out of every 10, killed them, put fire to them, and burnt them to ashes, and left the ashes there. God is interesting. I call it the priestly corner of life. There are things you do, all right? It's like waste. It's called worship. It's like waste. I've told you all this one that you're always frugal. I'm very disciplined. I'm very disciplined. I know how to spend my money very well. You won't prosper. You whine every time somebody visits you because it will cost you a bottle of Coke. You are begging for poverty. Look, I told you Christians, the way we do things is different though. Our own way of doing things, they're very different. This one, I've been harassing everybody, you must come to my house. It's an offering. Look, I said the family thanksgiving. That I came to Enugu 9 years ago. Alone. Yeah. He said, what about your wife? He said, look to Abraham, to your father, and to Sarah. I called him alone. Two of them is one person. So only me and my wife, one of us, one, me, alone. You know, we came. But since then, I have multiplied. Since then, I mean, you didn't know me that time. Yet you are an adult. Now you know me. I have blessed you. I have blessed people in East Africa, which has always been the desire of my heart. I have blessed people here and there. For that reason, I said, God, no, that's my own way of doing things. Don't think I have plenty more, you know, right now. But it's the season. God knew it's my. I just chose it as my time of saying, God, thank you. And to me, it's an offering. It's as good as the money I give for the preaching of the gospel. That's why if you don't come and eat the offering, you're not a priest. Oh my God, I wish you get the point. The life of the believer is about worship. Everything you do is just to worship God. If you walk as worship. Let me say, summarize like this. As you worship, you are provoking the release of blessing from heaven. The mistake we make when we make such statements before is that we thought that the worship was only the one in church. So everybody worship. As you worship this morning, the blessing will pour forth. That is not a lie, but that's not the whole thing. You can only be there for 30 minutes, you know, 1 hour. If it's a special worship Sunday, 3 hours maybe. But when you leave, worship continues. Are you getting my point? Listen, let me say it again. Your life as a believer, all right, is for the worship of God. You know what Jesus said? He said the Father is seeking. You know what it means? The Father is what? Seeking worshipers. True worshipers. True worshipers. And the life of the believer, believe me, is about worship. All about what? Worship. The way by which we activate God's promises is worship. It's all worship. That's how we activate the promises of God. That's why I talked about the offering up of spiritual sacrifices. Our time again has gone today, all right? Let me just stop it here. But the point I'll just bring up from all of this is that you look at Abraham, he always built an altar. All right, that's a physical sign of the worship of God. I'll explain that one again. All right, the fact that the man was always offering up what? Sacrifices. Actually, I began to say that just to explain some of the things I'm going to say about the life of Abraham, using as an example, those are some of the steps that he took. I was supposed to go first with the matter of prayer and then the matter of prophesying. I'll explain them again next time. The matter of prophesying, I'm going to use the life of Abraham as when God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. It's very vital that we understand that. All right, that why God picked the man's name and changed it. God was teaching him to speak some things differently. You see, once you are a worshiper and you say things correctly and you offer your prayer to God, let me say it like this again. If your life is a life of worship and you rearrange your mouth like James said so that it can control your life properly and you make your prayers to God, there is nothing that you want to achieve on earth that you will not achieve. Listen to me. If men say you were dull, you will hire all of them. They will work for you. Esau was a smart guy. He knew how to work hard. Jacob was the one that nobody really could understand. But the commandment is that Esau will serve his brother. Listen, let me say it again. Three things. You know how to worship God. Offering up spiritual sacrifices. Number two, you talk correctly. When I say talk correctly, I don't mean you change your grammar. I mean you speak only what God speaks. Oh, I wish we would get this point. There are no battles in life. There are no opponents in life big enough to withstand your progress. I'm telling you. If you want anything in life, you know what the Bible says? Just simply ask. That's what I started by saying all these one of different planes in life. All those trying to practice some of the things we even preach as preachers. We are trying to adapt some spiritual planes into Christianity. No, that's not what we need. What we need is to connect with the worship of God. Live a life of worship. Speak only what God says. And anything you need, make your request unto God. Believe me, there is no battle big enough on earth to overcome you. Men, listen, let me tell you something. Anybody operating below your sphere will be working for you. That's what God says. I don't have time to explain some of these things. Some things I know will happen to my life. People say, struggle, build a house. I say, listen, you know what's going to happen? One day a man will build a house for 100 million and sell it to me for 25. And be begging me to buy. Some will be sinners. Some will not even be sinners. God just commanded him. Your job is to bless him. That's it. One day a man will build a house for half a billion naira. And before he parks in, he will come and say, "Pastor, God said I mustn't move into that house, that you should move into it." I said, I can't pay rent. He said, "No, don't worry, sir. You just live there." Where will you live? The Lord will build another one for us. I stopped worrying about what my life will be. I stopped. My assignment, what I'm doing right now, I'm teaching you. Somebody has an assignment. There are two kinds of people that have that assignment. There are some that are sinners. And in heaven, the angels will be laughing. Say, "We left him alone when he was stealing in the last 15 years. He thought he was smart. He's working for you. He was working for you all this while. He didn't know." There are some, they are not sinners. Like that one, you know he won't get any reward. He's a sinner. But there are some that they are not sinners. They are righteous people. And God will say, "Has he blessed you with the word?" He said, "Yes." Now you go and bless him with something like this. And for that one, he will get a reward because he's not a sinner. I hope you're following what I'm saying. Listen, the life of the believer, look, we operate a different sphere. People can come and try and teach me the sphere of labor. No, that's not my sphere. There is a sphere of blessing. It's called the law of the spirit of life.